Chapter 2, Joy Sheehan. Hi, I'm Meredith Foster. If you lost someone precious to you way before their time, could you still say, God is good? I think most of us imagine if we lost a child, we could never crawl out of the darkness and depression. That's where grief left Joy Sheehan. But somehow, she not only survived, she came to a place where she could feel gratitude for all of it. Here's Joy's incredible story.
My name is Joy Sheehan. My husband, Rob, and I, we met and 2 weeks later, got engaged.
Wow.
9 months later, got married. And we've been married 31 years. We had our first child after 5 years of marriage. And he was born with severe special needs. So we lost our first boy when he was 8 and a half. During his time of living, though, we had 3 other children, Christian, Olivia, and Sydney. So in 2000, we lost our 8 and a half year old. And, you know, I mean, that was a new normal for us. He had a seizure disorder and just a bunch of things. But the Lord was always a huge part of our lives during that time. And my husband and I, we've always said our best moments are crisis because we just, it pulls you together. It really does. And so you go through life, and then we had another little one, Grace. I named her Grace Taylor because it was by the grace of God I got through that pregnancy. And so thankful for her. And so life went on, right? Kids grow up. You do normal family things. You have your ups, your downs, your highs, your lows, but you're still close. We've always been a very close family. Rob and I have always tried to put our kids first. And then kids start graduating, going to school, and a whole new phase of life. And my boy, his birthday, March 23rd, he turned 24. And then 2 days later is when his accident happened. And so that's been the start of a roller coaster for us.
Christian is his
yes.
name, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he'd moved out?
He was here in town still, and really 4 nights out of 7, he'd probably sleep at home on our couch. And I even had just said to him like a week before, why don't you just move home? You know, he's like, oh, no, Mom, you know, and I'm like, okay. And he had just got his application and everything gathered and had some of his professors and things help him and just sending his resume in to University of Chicago. So he was so excited about that. And it just seemed like really his last 3 years were just his best years. Things were coming together. He was getting mature, you know, just how it is with kids going through phases. But then on that day when the fire happened, yeah, he didn't sleep at home that night. Wish he would have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He and another person lost their life from that fire, and one of his friends did get out, but not my boy.
Mm. How did you find out?
Well, I woke up, and I'm an early riser as it is, and I always work out in the morning, and I slept in a little bit that day. It was like after 6, and when I got up, my husband was gone, and his breakfast was on the counter. That's not like my husband to not eat his breakfast. And our Yorkie was there, and I could tell his ears were down. So I knew something was not right.
Interesting.
And so I started looking around the house, like if my husband had a heart attack or something. And Meredith, it wasn't but 30 seconds, and the phone rang. So I didn't have to freak out long at all. And it was Rob. And he said, I need you to keep your composure. I need you to get in the car. There's been a fire. It's not good. I need you to meet me at Presence, I think it was. And I said, okay, I'm coming. And so, you know, I'm driving, I'm thinking, it's okay, Lord. You know, if he's burned or whatever, we've gone through this with Taylor, we can do whatever we need to do to help him. And I called Rob and I said, are you with him yet? You know, what's going on? And he said, no, let me call you back. So it wasn't long and he called me back and he said, Joy, I need you to pull over. And I said, don't you do that. Don't you say that to me. He said, I want you to pull over and turn the car off. And I said, no, I'm going to find my boy. And I said, I'm going to his house. And so I turned my car around. I drove to his house and all the, you know, the lights and the sirens and the caution tape and everything. And I ran in there screaming his name. And this poor fireman, now I love him and he's a great friend, stopped me. And I tried to choke hold him to get to my boy and let me go back to his bedroom. And he said, he's not back there. We can't let you see anything. It's a crime scene right now. So they escorted me out. By that time, Rob got there. And there was a gathering of people and some of Christian's friends coming. And it was pretty evident that it was Christian's body, but they couldn't confirm anything until they could ID him. And so about 9-ish or something, they called and confirmed, but we knew it was him. Mm-hmm. I had no doubt, mm-hmm. you know. And my one daughter had just gone through boot camp at Great Lakes, and she went on to a school in Pensacola. She had been there for a week. My other daughter was in California, and, you know, it's weird because as moms, my ones who were at California and Pensacola, I'm like, oh my gosh, if they need some, how fast can I get there to them? Blah, 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 blah. Here my boy is 2 miles down the road. And I know if I would have had that weird feeling in the middle of the night and we text our kids and they don't text us back, we would have done, I would have, where's Christian? Call friends, you know, whatever. Yeah. But God even orchestrated it, Meredith, that I slept through it. His first dispatch call was like 4:18. I got up at 10 after 6. That was late for me. There was nothing I could do. I mean, I just wrestled with, okay, what could I have done? What did I miss? How could I have done? How could I? The Lord, he knew my personality so much that it was done and taken care of by the time I got up. And I'm one of those moms, I want to know every detail. And so I had to look at the coroner's report and read everything. I had to go to the coroner's and see his pictures because I just had to piece together his last seconds to know that he really did just fall asleep from the carbon monoxide. You know, I had to know there wasn't any struggles. And God was so good because you don't want to see pictures like that, but it showed me there was no, you know, struggle to get out. Mm-hmm. And the firemen, they said he just went to sleep, Joy. And God affirmed that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was such a comfort for me as a mom to think 2 miles down the road and I couldn't get to him. So God was merciful, if you can say that, mm-hmm. and gracious, even in such a horrendous fatality, to give me peace and closure and to put the pieces together for me, I guess, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, no one else in my family needed that. But mm-hmm. I had to. And it was shortly after I lost him and I had to go to his house and just pray. I had to. The song that it was playing on the radio was Chris Tomlin, How Great Is Our God? I was praying outside his bedroom window and it was the most peaceful, blue, crisp day.
How long after he passed away?
It was I want to say within like 10 days.
Oh, wow. Soon.
Yeah, because I just knew I had to get there. And so, blessed be your name and how great is our God. Those were the two songs. And I was praying. And you know when you get in that level of prayer, you just don't know anything that's going on around you. And so all of a sudden, this breeze comes, and it's the smell of that smoke. Mm. And that smoke is horrendous. I mean, I can smell it any time now. But when that smell came through, the lyrics of when the darkness closes in, Lord, I'm still going to say. And I thought, when the darkness closed in on Christian, he was having his hands reached up to the Lord. And he was saying, take me, Jesus. How great is our God? Mm-hmm. That smoke that was, I mean, to me, that's what that song was. And as I am sitting there like that, I'm on my knees. I hear someone come up behind me and they put their arm around me and I didn't want to lose my focus because that was such a beautiful moment for me. I mean, I was so connected to the Lord. And this person proceeds to say, you are not alone. You are not alone. And the morning I woke up to go to his house that day, I felt so alone. Like I just had to go to his house and pray and feel him. And she kept saying, God told me to come here. He told me to come here and tell you that you are not alone. And I kept my eyes closed and she said, I have avoided this house. I didn't want to come down the street for the longest time. But today, leaving church, God told me I had to go down the street. And when I saw the person kneeling, he said, I have to stop and go tell that person she is not alone. And when she said that, I said to her, who are you?
Joy's journey with grief is just beginning. And unfortunately, there are more losses ahead for her. But God shows up in some surprising ways and in some surprising people. And Joy's life is changed. Stick around if you can. We'll have the rest of Joy's story right after this. Thank you for joining us for today's show. We're really grateful. If you aren't able to stick around for the rest of the show, you can always listen to the podcast on our website. Or maybe you have a story to share. Tell us about it at myfaithradio.com. Here's the conclusion of Joy Sheehan's story.
I was praying outside his bedroom window, and as I am sitting there like that, I'm on my knees, I hear someone come up behind me, and they put their arm around me, and I didn't want to lose my focus because that was such a beautiful moment for me. I mean, I was so connected to the Lord, and this person proceeds to say, "You are not alone. You are not alone." And the morning I woke up to go to his house that day, I felt so alone. Like I just had to go to his house and pray and feel him. And she kept saying, "God told me to come here. He told me to come here and tell you that you are not alone." And I kept my eyes closed. And she said, "I have avoided this house. I didn't want to come down the street for the longest time. But today, leaving church, God told me I had to go down the street." And when I saw the person kneeling, he said, "I have to stop and go tell that person she is not alone." And when she said that, I said to her, "Who are you?" And my eyes were closed. And she said, "My name is Angela." And I said, "No, you are my angel from heaven." And I opened my eyes and I said to her, "You have no idea." You know the song, "I Am Not Alone"? I can't think of right now. Mm-hmm. That was on my mind all day that morning. And then I have goosebumps still thinking about it because, Meredith, it was such a God thing going from that Saturday morning running in there to find my boy, and every car was stopping, the sirens, the chaos, the paramedics, the firemen, to that day. So surreal. Still the caution tape, not one person stopped, not one person noticed, but Angela did. God told her. You know, we talked and she said, "Who are you?" And I said, "That was my boy in there." And she was just, oh my gosh, I didn't know her. She didn't know me. That is the power of God. Yeah. And that's how I knew I am not alone. I am so not alone. And then as she's leaving, I'm like, "Are you on Facebook?" Because I wanted to know if this person is real.
Is she a real person?
Yeah, like, I didn't dream this, right? So I finished up and I went home and I told my husband, and it was like I had this out-of-body experience. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, gripping the steering wheels on the way there, and my wedding band, this is so weird because why would I remember this? I noticed when I got home my diamond was missing in my wedding ring. And I was like, you know, oh, shoot. And then Rob's like, "You know, it's okay. We can get you another one, whatever." And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, that's such a sign from God how everything on this earth is so temporary and how he gives and takes away. Blessed be his name. I'm like, "Rob, this ring means more to me ever that I can pass this on to one of my girls with this story." Because right. Everything on this earth is so temporary. Heaven is eternal. And Christian died in March, and then I lost my best friend unexpectedly, who was my mother, in July, and that left my father, who had Parkinson's and cancer, in full-time care. And so he came to our house on the weekends until he couldn't come anymore, and that took us through the holidays. Holidays were miserable, right? Mm-hmm. Just gross. And so I think it was in January, I had gone home, stayed the night with Dad, took him to church, drove back home, and I was just empty. I had nothing left to give. And you know, you have family wanting more from you. My family wanted me to help more with Dad, and being away from my 14-year-old who needed her mom during this time. I mean, yeah. She was having anxiety problems. And for some reason, I just pulled to a grocery store and I sat in the parking lot. It was at least 4 hours, and I Googled every verse I could possibly think of that God would just pull me out of this slump. I did not want to go home again and have my kids see me like this. Literally 4 hours, and I journaled. Journal's big for me. And I turned on the radio, and it was the first I had ever heard it. You guys had pre-recorded a segment of a testimony of mine, and it was about Christian. But oh my gosh, I turned that on. The timing of that coming on, the timing of my ring falling out of my diamond, the timing of Angela, my angel, it just is like a tapestry. It goes back to him being the perfect author. I heard that person on the radio, and I was like, how could I be so strong then? And I'm so much worse now. Lord, you've got to bring me back to that. You have to let me get that way for my kids. So I think that was January-ish. And then 2 days after Christian's anniversary, I lost my dad. So we've had three losses in a short year and, you know, difficult for us as parents, but then my children. And I think, you know, of parents who do lose a child, they not only watch their husband go through it, themselves go through it, but they, their children. I mean, you're just pulled in every direction, and that goes for the dad too, you know. And so after losing dad, life could get settled where I was home more. I wasn't pulled worrying about him. My family upset that I wasn't there enough taking care of him. And I started counseling. That was such a blessing. It truly was to get a different perspective. I think everybody should have a counselor.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. And you go through hate. My kids, I really felt like, oh my gosh, they hate me. Like, and I had to let them go through it. I had to. And
why do you think they hated you? What was that?
I was always sad. I couldn't rejoice in things, and I just couldn't celebrate. And I think they took it out on me because we were so close. I was the easiest thing to take it. They didn't have their grandma anymore. They didn't have their grandpa there. Yeah. And we're always so close, and I was there for them. I like to think for about anything major in their life that they needed me for. And I probably wasn't there as much as I needed to be for this. I mean, there's days you just check out,
yeah,
you know. But through it all, this is, sounds terrible, the worst thing in my life, losing my boy in some ways now, has been one of the best things for my faith.
Really?
And I can't expect anyone to understand that, and hopefully there's no judgment on anyone's part for that, but I've always walked close to the Lord, but I live every second of my day for heaven. Every breath I take, every color I see, I never lived my life like that before. I'm not afraid to die, you know. I get to go to heaven and be with my boys there. I'm past the point of leaving work, and I'm past counting seconds for when I could press on the accelerator and plan to go to heaven. I'm past that. I don't do that anymore. And I'm sure my girls had to feel like, you know, well, aren't we worth, you know? And that's what I feel like, maybe the feelings and everything. My one daughter is in the Navy, and she's stationed now at New Orleans, and she called me to come and help her. She was getting her wisdom teeth taken care of, and she never needs me. So I'm like, I'm on that plane. Here
I'll
I
be
come.
There.
And so that was the start of a new beginning for my family and for me. I went and I saw her. I saw her military life. She had just won this award, and my daughter would never tell me that. And so I at that moment, it was like God was saying, you need to stop living in the past. Start living in the future. You have three beautiful girls. You're going to have so many things to celebrate with them, to see their successes. And that was, for some reason, eye-opening for me. And so those 4 days, I just kept walking around, future. Okay, Lord, future. How do you want me to do future? Something would come in my head about Christian. I'd be like, stop. Future, future. So I'm on the plane, getting ready to go home, and my husband's following my plane, and I'm really excited to see him. More than normal. Like, I don't know why I'm so excited to see him. Maybe because I was going to tell him all this. And so the plane lands, and we're starting to walk down, you know, to where you greet people. And in that moment, I thought, okay, what if this all is a nightmare, and Christian's going to be at my gate, and he's going to say, welcome home, Mom. I love you. And it just took my breath away, because I was like, Jesus, why? I don't want to keep going back. And I felt the hands of Jesus just press on my shoulders and say, Joy, you are living for the future. He will be at the gate. It's not going to be this gate. It's going to be the pearly gate. And not only is he going to be there, but Taylor's going to be there with him. And he's going to say, welcome home, Mom. I love you. and the excitement you feel for your husband compares nothing to what you're going to feel when you see your two boys. And it just all came together. I felt the hands of Jesus on my shoulders. I know I did. You know how you know when you know, when you know, when you know. Yeah. And from then on now, it's just been a sequence of events. My oldest daughter, I've seen such a change in her. She's gotten involved in a small group. She has a wonderful young man in her life now. She has a wonderful job. She's working with very people who are good examples in her life, you know. And so seeing that come together for her, my high schooler going better, my sailor, she came home for Thanksgiving, asked if she could bring a special friend. Well, that gentleman who is a Marine asked for her father's blessing, and then the next day on Thanksgiving, he proposed to her. So here we go, the successes, the celebrations. And I am so grateful that God gave me 3 or 4 months to grow in this peace, in this gratitude, this contentment, because I know if that would have happened to Sydney getting engaged back 4 months ago, it would have been such a heartache. And this was a true joyful moment, you know, and that we are going to have futures, and all the losses we had, this is going to be a gain. I'm going to have a boy, you know. Honestly, Meredith, there is probably not a breath that I have taken the past 18 months that I didn't think about my boy. So it was an instant thought to heaven. And honestly, when Sydney got engaged, that was the very first time I realized, I haven't thought about Christian every second of the day today. And now I see where we're at. We're going to experience a high and a low and get back to that high, because he proposed and she, you know, had tears of excitement. And then there was that low of Christian's not here, Mom. And then back to that high again. And I've seen that with my older daughter. I go through it now, but it's not that low that you stay at forever. And I'm so thankful. I told my kids, we choose better, not bitter. Bitter is horrible. And I'm so thankful he has allowed us to get better and not bitter. In Thanksgiving, you know how you think about things you're thankful for. And I thought, what's one thing I'm not? I didn't think I'd ever be thankful for. And now I am. I'm not thankful that I lost my kids. Not at all. But my husband and I went through a really hard time once in our marriage. A special needs child, just, you know, everything. It's by the grace of God, just let me say, that my husband and I are still together and stronger than ever. But I know without a doubt now, any hard times we went through was for this time right now. Because we're stronger than ever. And even though what I thought was like the hardest time in my life with him, but we have hope. And I've learned so much. And that's why I say it's one of the best things. Horrible to say that, but I don't know that I'd have anything ever to compare it to, to where I have to rely on my faith so much. And with that, I have gotten such a God confidence in his faithfulness. I don't know if that makes sense, but to me, his faithfulness to me has been so God that my confidence is in him now. And when you have a God confidence, you have this gut feeling, you have this awareness, and I can't explain it. It's a clarity that I never had before.
Like you can hear his voice and recognize it
just,
and know that it's
you
him.
Just know it. Yeah.
That's priceless. And you think that was forged by walking through this experience?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's been a lot of good. If I could take out that horrible of losing him and still have learned all this. It's been 18, 20 months now, and the past 4 months, God has just been so amazing to my family, and the growth and the difference and where we're at now compared to those last 18 months have been huge. My boys are happy. My mom and dad are happy. They're a little family up there. I have my family here. Many successes ahead with my girls. God is good. He is good all the time. We just have to hold on to that.
Grief is a hard journey. So grateful that God meets us and helps us along. Thanks to Joy Sheehan for sharing her story today. You can see a sweet photo of Joy and Christian and learn more about this episode on our website, myfaithradio.com. Epic is a production of Faith Radio. The show's intro was produced by Jason Racco. Our theme song was written by Stefan Johnson. And I'm your host, Meredith Foster. If you enjoyed this podcast, I hope you'll share it with a friend. And you know what? You have a chapter in God's big story. Share your story with us on our website, myfaithradio.com. See you next week.